All right, you guys. Raise your hand if that was encouraging. Who's encouraged right now? Feeling like you're part of the body of Christ? That's the whole idea here. Is that we're family, y'all. When you're a Christian, you're family. And we can talk a little family business every once in a while, can't we? And then we get things taken care of. We find out how we're doing. And it's not bad to be asked what you're reading in the Bible, is it? Does anybody have a hard time with that? Because isn't that a good thing to do anyway? Right? Good. Well, let's open our Bibles. If you have it, who has their owner's manual? Their owner's manual. Open it up to the second chapter of Acts. And before I start, I'd like to pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day and thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you'll open our minds to receive it and that you'll help us to apply it and that we will be filled with your spirit and able to love people when we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, right at the end of the Gospels. And we've been in Acts 2 for a while, starting with verse 42. And so I'm just going to start at 42 and read to the end. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the first point, if you have your notes there, fill in the blanks so you don't fall asleep. That's what I used to do when I was a kid. Write on the bulletin, fill in the words, right? First point is God blesses through community. And that's what we were just doing. Just as, for those three questions, that's community. When you first look at verses 44 to 45 that we just read, where it's talking about people selling everything they have and giving it away, like, woohoo! Something, you know, your first thought is, wow, that's cool, you know, you're really taking care of each other. But then your next thought is probably like mine, like, what if I don't want to? You know, do we all have to do that? You know, I'm like, all my stuff? Right? Seems kind of radical. Well, according to one commentary, this was not imposed by a commandment. The fact that Mark's mother, Mary, had a house of her own, and Barnabas, her relative, especially signalizes having sold his property, proved that it was not universal. It was an irrepressible outcrop of the brotherly feeling that filled all hearts. Christ has not come to lay down laws, but to give impulses. Right? So it's not about extrinsic, it's intrinsic. Where when you come to know the Lord, you want to do the right thing. You want to help your brother as a response to his love. Compelled communism is not the repetition of the oneness of sympathy with effort. I practiced this last night. Efflorescence in the bright flower of this common possession of individual goods. This is not communism that we see in the Soviet Union or other places where everybody's distributing for the good of everybody. But neither of this is this the closed purse, closed because the heart is shut. You know, in other words, it's not holding everything back either. It's in the middle. It's like being willing to help, wanting to help with whatever you have. One guy, Ellicott, said this was a society founded not on the law of self-interest and competition, but on sympathy and self-denial. They had all things in common, not by a compulsory abolition of the rights of property, but by, this is good, the spontaneous energy of love, the gift of the Spirit showing its power not only in tongues and prophecy that we saw at Pentecost, but in the more excellent way of charity. The power of God moving in love, wanting to help your neighbor. Another guy named Benson, these are all these old guys that wrote things about Scripture. He said it is probable they had an eye to the command which Christ gave to the rich man as a test of his sincerity, sell what you have and give to the poor. from Matthew 19:21, because at one point Jesus was teaching and he said, sell all you have and give to the poor. In other words, don't hoard, right? And he especially went after the rich young ruler as well, right? Where is your heart? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So don't hoard, but be willing to give it away. And another guy, Doddridge, all these fellas, said particular reasons for this may be because they were sojourners. Because remember, they all came to the feast, the Passover, when Pentecost happened. And so they were from out of town, like y'all, from Nashville. They didn't bring enough to live there. But then now they're starting to hang out. They're becoming a church. And so they need to help each other out because they didn't bring enough of whatever they need. You see that? So there was, and then other people have talked about they had an eye on what was to come because of the teachings of Jesus and the Roman rule that was going to eventually confiscate a lot of what they had anyway, and they're willing to sell it because they were going to lose it anyway. That was what one commentator said, Matthew Henry. So I've seen this happening in my life when I was in Youth with a Mission and lived in Hawaii and was in the Ukraine and different places for a couple of years. People would do that. They would just simply give each other stuff to help the team go. We would get to places overseas and one of our team members didn't have enough money for the plane flight, and people would pitch in money and help that person get their plane flight so we could remain a team. I've seen this happen. I saw this on Monday night. I went to a men's group that's been started by some of the guys in our church and guys from other churches as well. And one of the men in the church wanted to go see his son in Kansas City. And he didn't have enough money just for the plane flight, but no money for food or anything else. So the guys in the meeting just reached into their pockets and pulled out a bunch of money and gave it to him. And he was like blown away, just started crying. It's really cool. And they've known this guy for a long time. And so that was really cool. You know, how God's people help God's people, right? And it speaks to those people on the outside looking in, going, wow, it's cool how you take care of each other. It reminds me of my friend Bob, who we go camping with. He has 6 kids, and Bob is so generous. I call his campsite Star Bob's, because when I go to his campsite, he takes care of the coffee and all that, you know. And he, like, when we go camping, the first time we went camping, when my kids were all like 1, 3, 5, and 7, and they're like, boop, 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 with all the paraphernalia that you need for camping, you know. And I remember the first time we got there about 10 at night. And this is north of Mammoth, up in the mountains. So it's dark. We have no idea where we are, trying to find this campsite. And we finally get there, and they had already set up all of our stuff. They set up a tent, put out all our stuff, and did it for us. It's like, who does that? Who does that? Bob does. But he's such a great example. And then he was like concerned about our sleeping, so he went to Costco and bought one of those double air mattress, big like beds, like this high, for my wife and I. Because he just loves to see people blessed. And then we had other friends. When other friends come to the campsite, he'll get a team and go over and put up their tent for them. Oh, somebody else is coming. And we usually have 7 or 8 campsites of friends. And he's quick to always be there to help set it up. A great example to me. But seeing community in action, it's so much easier to set up a tent with 8 people and all your pop-ups and all your stuff. It's done, you know? And we just spent 2 weeks camping. That's another reason I have a beard. I went to Africa for a month, came back and went camping and just didn't shave. Never had one before. I'm really grateful, though. Today, I did a face plant on the bottom and ate sand out there. I have a fat lip because of it. And I think my beard protected me. So my wife keeps asking me, why does hair grow out of your face? What is the purpose of hair growing out of your face? So, I mean, unless you just want to play potato man and try different looks, you know. But God blesses through community, and churches grow because they see what we're doing with each other. People want to come and be part of what we're doing because they see how we treat each other. Amen? And then the second thing is that God works through, God works through unity. That's your second blank there. Day by day, they continued in one mind. In one mind. Wow. That is an achievement with so many opinions that people have. Amen? right? That we're actually doing something with one mind. Different opinions, different needs, different preferences, different levels of understanding. We certainly don't get a very good example on TV with our national situation right now, do we? Looking at the House of Representatives and the Senate, they're all getting along just fine, aren't they? All one mind, no problem. No, not at all, right? We're completely polarized as a nation. We're like two minds. And a house divided cannot stand. So something's got to give eventually. But forget the nation for a minute. It's hard to just stay in one mind for a few hours at home at times when you have four or five or six children with all these opinions and preferences and things you want to do. And that's something we work on daily, I know in our family, to have one mind. What is the perspective we need today? Because the Bible says that people without vision cast off restraint. In other words, if we forget that we're doing a church down here, if we forget our neighbors and everything else, we start acting like fools. Because that's who we are. We're flesh and blood. We're selfish, basically, at the core, right? But Jesus helps us become less selfish every day as we work on becoming one mind with our neighbors, with our family, with our co-workers, and it's called self-denial. It's not fun, but the outcome is great. And it gets easier as we do it. So, that's why Malawi this summer in Africa was so amazing to me, because our team did that for 17 days. I didn't hear one raised voice, one argument, one contrary opinion, only one. Because Kurt didn't want a generator because it was loud, and the other team wanted a generator to charge their phones. That was the only thing for 17 days. And it was amazing how much you can get done when everybody's getting along. And everybody's willing to follow the leader. Now, Kurt Dahlin, if you know him, he is an old hippie from Venice. He's easy to follow because he's just crazy. But he's super smart and he has a plan. So just follow him. It's going to work out, I promise. So we would all just kind of have our backpacks ready and he'd go, 5 minutes! And that means get in the van. We're going somewhere cool. And it worked, you know. But we had one mind and we're able to be successful in the mission field. You know, dedicate 25 wells, show the Jesus film to like 3,600 people in a Muslim area. Who does that? Set up the Jesus film next to a mosque with the blessing of the Muslim chief and see people come to Jesus wearing white robes and little white hats because they're Muslim. And that happened because of the team being single-minded. A house divided will not stand. A team divided, a nation divided, a church divided will not stand. And we see churches falling apart all the time. But a church unified is a glorious example of God's grace to the world, who watches us with as an entity that bears enormous fruit. Bloop, 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 bloop. Lots of fruit coming out of the branches, right? Like the lemon tree in our backyard, if anybody wants any lemons. We have way too many lemons. If you look at Psalm 133, it's just on the other side of 132. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. It's a blessing to have unity. Romans 12:16 reads, be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Well, I got friends in low places, right? Be willing to associate with anybody and not think judge yourselves to be more higher than them. But be willing to be right there at their level. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Let's settle matters today the best we can in our ability and with the help of the Holy Spirit and be unified. Right. Let's be unified today. Do not let the sun go down on your disagreement. Be unified. Be unified at home and in the church. Start at home. I think it's the hardest place to be a Christian is at home sometimes. Because you can think you can get away with anything. But start at home and then bring it to the church, right? By the way, I think our little church is doing excellent, by the way. I have not been staying up late at night solving squabbles. You guys are awesome. To use that word awesome again. I'm so grateful for whatever y'all are doing. It's cool. Just keep doing what you're doing. This is really not a message for you guys to learn, but a message for you guys to continue because it's helpful. And that unity will help foster growth. People will want to be in a church that's not backbiting and not divided. And not so worried about whether it's a guitar or three guitars or one guitar or an organ or a, you know, the songs are too loud or whatever. You know, we're just come and be happy. Learn about Jesus. Now, there are lots of places to worship. And if you would rather have a pipe organ, there's some cool churches out there. We don't have one here because we would need a permit for that one. So next here in verse 46, we see another reference to great community. Looks like these guys were having progressive parties. Anybody ever had a progressive party? We used to do that in Isla Vista, UCSB. We'd drive around on our bikes and go from house to house and have different courses of the meal. And so, progressive parties. These guys are going from house to house, eating, enjoying each other's company. Kind of reminds me of Newport. Everybody riding around on bikes with surfboards. I was there 2 days ago. Those guys are all right next to each other. So believers in Newport can just do that, ride around, go to people's houses, have their hors d'oeuvres, have their salad, you know, believers, and just enjoy each other, right? Now, of course, it's easier in these places when you have bikes, but the idea in general is to hang out together during the week and not wait for Sunday. And food is a good reason to get together, isn't it? I mean, you got to eat. Might as well. I mean, Jesus did this all the time. He was always eating. And he would hang out with people and talk to them about important things while they were eating. Make sure you feed them first before you bring it up. Because you need something in your stomach to take the next message for your life. And we covered this idea a lot when we talked about fellowship. How many weeks was that, Joe, for fellowship? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? Just talking about fellowship, right? And last week I had a really good time meeting with those guys on Monday night. We had fellowship with Joe and the guys. I really enjoyed fellowshipping after church last week over here talking to Mark from Georgia. There's just something about being with people outside of the church itself that makes life better. And one thing that I notice that shows up in these groups is gratitude and gladness and happiness and sincerity. And that's what it's talking about in this scripture here. They came with gladness of hearts. It says here, they were taking their meals together with gladness, which leads me to my next point, number 3. God is glorified by joyful hearts. God is glorified by joyful hearts. There is no better advertisement for Jesus than a joyful heart. Right? How many know Christians that are just have a hard time smiling and just, I don't know what you're reading. I think you need to get out of Leviticus. Let's get into something more happy. You know, get into Philippians or something. I paddled out at Malibu 3 days ago, and first thing that happened to me, I was blown away. This girl named Erica, she drives this orange van with no windows. She's the full hippie chick, tattoos, surfer, all this stuff. She said, "Rob, I've been looking for you. Everybody's been telling me I got to talk to you." I said, "What's going on?" She says, "I found Jesus on Easter." Oh, no way, Erica, you hippie chick in the orange van, you know, found Jesus. She said, "Yeah, my sister led me to Jesus. I cannot believe it." I'm like, I haven't even gotten out into the water hard, like 4 strokes at the cove at Malibu. And she's like, "I've read like 40 books since Easter. I've read Josh McDowell's Evidence Demands a Verdict, Ravi Zacharias." Like, Ravi, I'm looking at her going, Ravi Zacharias, Orange Van, Peace, Love, Hippie, Ravi Zacharias. Okay, come on. Things are changing here. He's like a really insane, beautiful apologist from India, right? So, when Jesus gets a hold of somebody, they have so much joy. She's in the middle of her honeymoon, and it's contagious. It's like, if you're around that, you just want what she has. And I paddled out to Alan Sarlow at the top of Malibu, because he's king of Malibu, and he's a recent believer the last 3 years. And I told him, he said, "No way, Erica? You mean with all the tats?" And yeah, Eric, So he's like freaking out. So now we got joy at the top of the lineup. So now joy's running all the way through, you know? But the joy is irresistible. And it makes the church grow because people want to be around joy, right? True joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not dishwashing detergent. The Holy Spirit produces joy. When we worship the Lord, the Spirit brings joy. When we're thankful, we find joy. When we read God's Word, it brings joy. When I was camping, I just had my Bible out to the Psalms. And if you just open it up to the Psalms and just kind of start scanning, you're going to run into so much good stuff. You'll find yourself underlining. Just looking at David talking to Jesus, the joy there. We're studying the Psalms as a family this year because we're in the National Bible Bee for the 11th year, and that's the book that we're studying this summer. So all day long, the kids are memorizing Psalms, learning the Hebrew, and you know, learning about all the different types of Psalms. So that's what we're doing in our house right now. And the Psalms are just full of joy. It's full of joy. And when you get filled with joy and you're spending time with other joyful Christians, it gets magnified. That's what happens out here when we're a bunch of surfers at the Holy Bowl and we get fired up for Jesus. And then now we're not just surfing. Now we're not just surfing, but we're enjoying the one who made it. And that's a whole nother level of surfing. You know, I heard that some of the most unhappy people are pro surfers. They have all the best waves in the world, but they don't have Jesus, and they're still trying to find something that's going to satisfy them. But the mentalized, perfect boat trips, all that stuff, will never match what Jesus gives us when He sets our heart free and gives us peace that's beyond comprehension. This happens when you run into Christians at the store. How many know what I'm talking about? You run into another believer at the store, and all of a sudden you're having church right there in Ross Dress for Less, you know? Or it happened to us when we were in Malawi. Oh, man, every village was a party because they're like, okay, you gave us a water well that cost how much money? $14,000. They will never see that kind of money in their entire life. You spent $14,000 on us, and in Kwacha, that's millions. You know, millions of Kwacha. And now we no longer have diarrhea. We no longer have waterborne diseases. For the last 6 months, all my children are healthy. For the first time since 1948, our village is healthy. And it's like, dancing and singing, jumping around for joy. You'll never see more joyful people in your life. Ozungu, Ozungu, white people don't go. White people don't go. Stay, Ozungu, stay. More, you know, they just love us. Of course, you don't have to be white to do a water well, but we just happen to be the people that did it. But it's just total joy. Then we show them the Jesus film, and they find peace in Christ, and now they're like, great water, going to heaven, and this is like, it's over the moon. Over the moon. You'll never see, they just would run and chase our van, just singing down the road. They just wouldn't stop till we were just gone, and they're in our dust. Just total joy. In that type of praise is Shabbat, right? It's just total praise, just out of this world praise. We've been studying the different words for praise. So, joy times joy equals joy squared. That's what I'm talking about. And when the world sees this joy, they want to be part of the church. That's how churches grow. And I don't want a mega church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not praying at night for a mega church down here. That would change this whole dynamic. But I'm praying that people will be added daily, 1, 2, 3, so they can find the Lord. And even if they don't stay here, if they go back and fire up their church, or go back to Nashville or to Georgia and fire up their church, I was actually fired up by Mark, he's on fire already, then it just makes the church at large grow. See that? It's all good. It's all good. It's this big, huge church that's worldwide. John Piper has said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Let me say that again. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Isn't that good? Satisfaction alone will bring joy to our hearts. The Rolling Stones said, I can't get no satisfaction, but if I try... And if I go to church, I will find satisfaction, right? He forgot the rest of the song. To pray for Mick. He left himself hanging there. So it's not too late for a rolling stone to come to Jesus, right? Eventually that rolling stone's going to hit a wall. So, look at 1 Peter 1:8 real quick. 1 Peter 1:8. It's in the back of your Bible. 1 Peter 1:8. My pages are stuck together right now. Here we go. 1 Peter 1:8 says, 1 Peter 1:8. Actually, it's so hard to start right here. Let me start in verse 6. Actually, let me start in 3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected, I love that, by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, in that that he just said, in this, greatly rejoice. That means have joy. Greatly rejoice. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now here's the key verse, 8. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Joy inexpressible. That's what we're talking about here. That is joy. I encourage you, like I did last night, I put joy in my YouVersion app on my phone, and I just started going through the verses with joy. Just enjoy it. Just put joy in your YouVersion app for search and just start scrolling through all those verses with joy and just watch what happens to your heart. You can't help but get happy. You can't help but get happy. I mean, that's what's so cool about preparing these messages is I go in there thinking, oh no, it's like another research paper, you know? That side of your flesh, like it's work. But then I get in the middle, I'm like, oh man, I get the treats. Because I'm digging in and finding all these goodies. And then studying gets really fun, right? And then I can't wait to say it. That's what happens. That's what happens to preachers, right? So now you know the whole process. But anyway, so I encourage you to look at the verses with joy. And when all this is going on in the church, God's going to give favor to His people. As you look in the next verse here in Acts 2, it says, and says right here, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. God wants to give you favor. And when the church sees, I mean, the world sees the church getting favor. Now, this isn't always going to happen. Christians get persecuted and get sued and everything else, just like anybody, right? We have hard times. But when it happens, it speaks to people. It stands out. When we get favor, it stands out. And people see, whoa, God must be on His side. Because that shouldn't have happened. That shouldn't have happened like that. It's just a blessing. That doesn't happen. People don't get away with stuff like that. God wants, He wants to help us along as we rejoice in Him. He wants to give us favor to give Him glory. Remember, it's all about glory to God. And help us fulfill the mission that He's given us. We know from Ephesians 2:10 that He's given us things to do in advance. He prepared us in advance to do certain works. So this will help us finish our mission as we get favor. And then the kingdom is furthered and the church grows and numbers are added to the church daily. You see how that works? I've talked about this before, but I always remember it because it encourages me. I was on the train in the Ukraine with our team and Youth with a Mission, and they double booked our seats. We're heading towards east of Poland in a place called Lviv. They sold tickets, two tickets for each of the seats. So we got in our seats, and all these local Ukrainians came and said, "You're in our seats." And we showed them our tickets, and they said, "No, we're in our seats." So then the conductor took our team leader back to his car and started yelling at him, at her, trying to get a bribe. That was the whole plan, was to get a bribe. We'll let you have your seats if you give us some money. And we're praying, God, give us favor, God, give us favor, because they were going to drop us off at the next stop in western Ukraine right before dark, and we had no idea where we were. That's not fun, right? So we're praying. We have incentive to pray. And Jill said that all of a sudden, in the middle of his tirade, he just stopped. And he looked at her and he said, "You can go back to your seat now." And she went, "What? What was that?" You know, he's sitting there yelling at her. And all of a sudden, he just stopped and decided, "You can go back to your seat now." It's like, what was that? You know, because God changed his heart and gave us favor. So then we all stayed in those seats all the way back to Ternopil. All the Ukrainians kind of stood around and looked at us. If you've been on a train overseas where they have little sections, there's like seats in a U-shape and sections. So we had that whole section. Instead of 10, there was 20. But they were all calm and we made it back safely. But it was clear that God did a work to give us favor. And when I was in South Africa, you know, they needed a letter from my wife. When my son Daniel and I got to Johannesburg, they weren't going to let him into South Africa without a note from his mother saying that it was okay, because in this day and age, with all the divorces and the fractured families, sometimes dads will take their kids without the mom knowing, and she didn't want them to go, that kind of thing. So I told him, I said, if I call my wife at 2 a.m. in the States from Africa, she's going to have a cow. She's going to freak out, right? Is there some other way to do this? And, you know, he's giving us a hard time. And I just told the team, pray for favor, you know, just pray for God's grace. And they went and had a talk for a while and then came back and they said, okay, all right, this time, but you need to call your wife and have her send a letter on your phone so that you have it to show the next person to ask you. And they let us in. We found out later that a person, same thing happened to them. They had to go all the way back to London and get a lawyer to get a paper and fill out all this stuff just to get in. But God let us through because we had something to do for him and he gave us favor. Isn't that cool? We were really grateful, right? After traveling all the way from LA to London to Johannesburg, Africa, and being told that we couldn't come in, it makes you really happy that you can go in. So, and I see God's favor just at my school right now where I teach. I'm a middle school teacher. I teach sixth grade in the mid-city here in LA. And for whatever reason, I think it's God's favor is the reason. I have a very tolerant staff. In this day and age, it's very rare to have a school staff that's not upset that you're a Christian and that you have a Bible club in your room. I have one every Wednesday in my room. We're going through the book of Mark. They announce it. They even pray over meals. They've asked me to pray over meals before with the whole staff. I mean, where does that happen in LAUSD? But it's because the people on staff are either believers or they believe it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Either they're believers or they believe it's a good thing. And I just see it as God's favor because he has things to do. And he had previously set all this up so that I could go over there and drive that car, so to speak, so I could get in that place and be his guy. I mean, I don't know what I did to deserve that, but it's really fun to be able to do that. I'm really grateful. And then one last thing was, I told you that story last week about that Indian family. And, you know, we met this Indian family up in the mountains. And just because of the way God gave me words to say to Anne and how Jesus loved her and how every tribe is going to be in heaven, the Paiute, the Shoshone, the Cherokee, you know, that it's not a white man's religion, but every tribe, every nation, every people. And it's about love, you know, and all this stuff. She let us use her kayaks and her stand-up boards. And, you know, she gave us favor just to go take all her stuff. And that's, you'd usually see people at the lake and you think, wow, they got some cool toys. But you don't get to use them. You know, it's like, wow, they just have some cool lake toys, you know. But all of a sudden, all the kids are like on these fun toys out there. And it was just God saying, hey, you know, here's a little favor. And then people who see that just go, wow, that's cool. That doesn't happen to me. Well, that was just because it was Jesus. And I brought up Jesus right off the bat. That's what I believe. That's the reason that happened. So, and that leads me to the last point in your notes, that God's church grows when His people thrive. God's church grows when His people thrive. If you look at the last verse here, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. So we know that John 6:44 says that nobody comes to the Father except those who He draws. And we know from John 6:65 that nobody comes to the Father unless He enables them. I also believe that we need to choose this day whom we're going to serve and who we're going to follow. So as God is drawing us, and then we see the church and see these things that we've been talking about today, see unity, we see joy, we see favor, these things happening in the church, then it makes us want to go join that. The Holy Spirit's already working in our life, and now we know where to go. Does that make sense? So God uses all this stuff that's happening that we just talked about, a unified church. You know, when we're a unified church, when we're a community that's enjoying being together, sharing meals together, when we have joy, when we have favor, then people want to come. They will know that we're Christians by our love. That's like the old song. They'll know that we're Christians by our love, our unity, community, generosity, joy, sincerity, favor. And this kindness leads people to repent. And what does repent mean? It means changing your mind. I mean, repent sounds like a gnarly word, right? Repent. Well, no, it just means change your mind. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways and He'll make your path straight. There is another way, maybe. Maybe you don't have the corner of knowledge like we thought we did. And you'll run into a lot of this when you get into higher academia about people that, you know, God makes man's wisdom look foolish, and then God's wisdom looks foolish to man because they're not fully asking God to show them. And at one point, He will show us, and it begins with this thriving church. The proper devotion to the duties of the Spirit produces proper character, which in turn produces a powerful and saving impact on sinners. When we're acting like a healthy church, it has an impact on people around us that know they're sinners and they know they need to get right with God. Barnes says, another commentator, the effect of a consistent Christian life will be to command the respect of the world. The other is that the effect will be continually to increase the number of those who will be saved. In this case, they were daily added to it. The church was constantly increasing, and the same result may be expected in all cases where there is similar zeal, like my friend Erica at Malibu, self-denial, like the guys on the team in Malawi, consistency, the C word, consistency. Probably the hardest thing being a parent is being consistent. We're always working on that. Meaning what we say, saying what we mean, right? But consistency is important in the Christian walk and prayer. If we have zeal, self-denial, consistency, and prayer in this arena, and we're thriving, then people will come to church. So let's do this, right? Who's in? Right? Let's do this. Let's keep this in mind through the week, guys. Let's let God show us maybe there's something in here that we're a little bit lacking on. I mean, none of us are perfect, but hey, you know what the good news is? He's making us more like Him. God works all things for the good for those that love Him, and He's transforming us into the likeness of His Son. So this is part of the process, is to hear a goal and now move towards it. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control, kindness. If we let His Holy Spirit work in us, these things are going to start to happen. We won't have to make it happen. It'll be a natural result of being in the Spirit and being in the Word, being in fellowship. And let's watch Him bring the increase. Like I say, I don't pray at night for a mega church. I just pray that more people will know Him. that people will be added to our number daily. And like I say, they don't need to stay necessarily. They could come here and go somewhere else. If the church at large is growing, amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? A growing, healthy church. So there it is, ingredients for a healthy church. All those things that I just talked about for the last few months, but ending with growth. If we do all these things, then it can't help but grow. I mean, we're here. We came because we saw something good, right? So now with a group this big, maybe there's somebody that has never really heard the gospel clearly. And maybe there's somebody that has never fully made a decision not just to believe, but to receive. It says in John 1:12, to believe and receive. And in Romans 10:9 says to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead and you'll be saved. Because the wages of sin is death. In other words, the price for our sin is to die spiritually. We can never pay the fine for our sin. You can never pay the fine. Like, just tell me where to go. And what do you need? How much money is it, God? No. There's no paying God off. We can never pay the price for our sin. But praise God that Jesus did that for us. I was at Best Buy this week, and we got a battery for my car alarm. And I just had this thought, and I turned to her. I said, hey, do you know what the Best Buy is? And she said, no. I said, when Jesus purchased you at the cross. It's like, oh, I think she was a believer. She said, that's pretty good. I said, well, I just thought of it. But anyway, so, but he purchased us back from the devil. Devil had us kidnapped, but the ransom has been paid. The devil had to let us loose. Oh, okay, go ahead. Go into your family of God. Yes. And we're safe because of what he did at the cross. He paid the price. That's the good news. So bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe somebody today is hearing this clearly for the first time. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father but through me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open the door, I'll come in and eat with you. I'll be with you. That's what Jesus says. The Bible says today's a day for salvation. Why wait? So if that's you, raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you. If you want to receive Jesus in your heart for the first time. Okay, let's go ahead and say the prayer that we've said before in case someone's listening with an earshot. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me, for going to the cross for me, for paying for my sins. Forgive me. I thank you that you rose from the dead. So I can believe what you said. I put my trust in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me love people. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, wait, one more thing. Maybe there's somebody here today that is returning to the Lord or just wants to get right with God, had a rough couple weeks or a couple months, and you just want to rededicate to the Lord. So everybody bow your heads one more time. Close your eyes. And if you want to pray and say, Jesus, I'm back. I want to pray with you for that. Had some rough time and you want to come back. That's kind of hard to admit. That's why everybody has their close their eyes, their heads down. Okay. I'm going to pray this prayer again and y'all pray this prayer in case somebody needs this prayer as well. Jesus. I know I stray from you at times. I'm back.
We're back.
I love you.
We love you.
I give you my whole heart.
I
surrender to you.
We surrender to you.
I hold nothing back.
We hold nothing back.
Have your way in my life.
Have your way in our life.
Your way, Yahweh.
Your way, Yahweh.
I want to be free.
We want to be free.
To love people.
To love people.
In the power of your Holy Spirit.
In the power of your Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's give the Lord a big clap. Isn't God good? Are y'all encouraged? All right. Well, let's stand and praise the Lord and thank Him for what He's done and what He's going to do in our church.